Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good Monday morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for joining us, allowing us to take a little bit of your time on this holiday weekend, this particular holiday, the day we celebrate the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so we know that activities have been going on all weekend, and we know, for example, especially today, The King family is going to honor the late civil rights leader, according to this Washington Post article that I saw, by demanding action on federal voting rights legislation. There was a march that began at 10 a.m. Before joining the city's annual MLK. Junior Memorial Peace Walk, and they're trying to urge the Senate and President Biden to enact federal voting rights legislation. Here with me to talk about this and other stuff today is the mighty, mighty CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, Princess Cooper. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be alive and kicking as much as possible, and at this point anyway, hopefully we all are well. How are you doing?
Doing really good. Can't complain. We're back at it. We've had great holidays, and now we've turned the corner and launched a whole another year. 2022 is here, so excited. And I love this time of year. For so long, Gretchen, Martin Luther King, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, was such a godlike figure in my household growing up. It was, you know, he was bigger than life. And to when he was assassinated, that was just sad and somber. Day, year, month, and I'm glad now that I've gotten to mature and realize him and his impact for myself. It's pretty powerful.
What do you think he would think about events that have transpired in the past couple of years, especially with the death of George Floyd, the sentencing of Derek Chauvin and his colleagues, death of Ahmaud Arbery and the sentencing of the people involved with his murder and some of the other incidents. What do you think he would think of it? At this point, what do you think he would have done in terms of action? Especially, I just don't know if he would still be with us, you know, at this point, or would he be retiring? Would he have passed on the mantle to someone else, you know?
Well, you know, I think he would say, the minister, the preacher in him would say, this is what I was talking about. This is what I was trying to warn you of, and that is injustice to one of us is injustice to all of us. I think he would say that. And I think he would be proud of the next level of protesters. And all of them haven't been, I don't feel, you know, I think some of it has got out of hand if they've tried to to, you know, create violence or destroy property of retailers. I think that is way too far. But I, last summer made me so proud to see the generation behind us get out and march and get out and do it peacefully in a lot of places. And I think it would be sad and also that police brutality still exists for our culture. I think he would be sad about that. But he was still a peaceful protester, and I do believe in that. And I would hope, though, that he would still try to give us an encouraging word and to give us some of those things that you'd have to say he was before his time, some of the things he saw and vision and then, you know, discussed in his speeches. I think he was before his time, but he would be excited about the next level protester, but I think he would also say, this is exactly what I've been talking about.
So let's talk about good and the bad and the ugly that may be occurring today, and we hope more good than the bad and the ugly. But there was an article that I saw out of, I guess, the Miami area on localpen.com that police are warning illegal riders that they may be facing arrest today. Because apparently there have been these what they call ride-outs, and it says it's become a dangerous tradition. And they said that they're going to be arresting people. They will be towing vehicles if people take to the roads to participate in these ride-outs. It said the warning was done in Broward County and then in Miami-Dade County. And this is, they want people to properly use motorcycles and ATVs. They said last year, 25 people in Miami-Dade County were killed riding ATVs, motorcycles, mopeds, or scooters. And so they want to just they want people to honor the day, but just not do it in a reckless way. So that's, you know, one of the things when you were mentioning about, you know, looting and everything. We don't want to trade one set of bad behavior for another.
Exactly.
In fact, there's a lot of emphasis on doing service activities today. And, you know, it's not necessarily that hard to find. Your service activity does not necessarily need to be official. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be recognized. But there are a lot of opportunities out there, and I know you, if I know you, you are involved today. In fact, that's why we're recording the show, because we're not here. We're trying to do our best here. So what are you involved in?
I'm going to be involved in a conversation with the Richland County Library and the Columbia Museum of Art, and the conversation is a Let's Talk Race community conversation, and we're going to get started on Monday morning around 9 a.m., and I hope a lot of people come out, but I will be on the panel, let's talk, you know, race, and I'm prepared to maybe have some of the difficult conversations when it comes to politics, when it comes to community, when it comes to sports. There's still a prevalent ideology that says that African Americans can't lead, and if they do lead, they're not the upper echelon of leaders. And I feel that Donald Trump made everybody more comfortable with their racism and their ideology that we are the less intellectual race, and we're going to try to have that conversation, and then we have another event later on that's more about music and geared towards that. But yeah, it's a day filled for me, later some service, you know, and there are several groups here that I'm really proud of that are doing it, you know. One is Be Kind, Be Great, and they will be in the park all day giving out necessities for the homeless and having a breakfast kind of brunch thing. And so a full day, and I'm going to continue to do what I know to do, and that is to serve in my small way in my small community. But that's the least I think that I can do for sure.
Well, I'm glad. It just really warms my heart when I hear you about you're doing this, you're doing that, and it's like, oh, good, go for it, go get them. I really am very appreciative of people who serve and have that service heart and caring for their community and the people. Me, I'm not sure what I'm doing today yet, but I know this past Saturday I was with our Central Florida Association of Black Journalists. We were involved in a parade in Eatonville Saturday afternoon, and then I'm going to do what I do tomorrow. We're going to have our civil rights attorney, our favorite civil rights attorney, Kevin Anderson. We're going to talk a little bit with him tomorrow for the show live, so please don't miss. You know, it's just a matter of trying. I'm glad that I will have this time to kind of do something. It may not be in an official capacity. I have to see what's out there, but it may just be something. And then, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be one day. There are some things that we can do for our communities on a regular basis. If I want to do some things, I want to maybe encourage some people to do some of the small stuff that really doesn't take a whole lot of thought and commitment, but, you know, they do add up. One of the things I do is our St. Vincent de Paul thrift shop. You know, they help a lot of the pantries and other things in our community. They have a thrift store, and one of the things that they are often in need of are bags to bag up the stuff that people buy from the thrift store. So about once a month, although I've tried to reduce my footprint by not using as many plastic bags. So I have a lot. I have quite a few canvas bags that I use, but the plastic bags that I do have, the ones that we don't use around here, I usually once a month try to take them over to St. Vincent de Paul. And then one of the things I've also tried to do is they use, let's say, that, you know, that leftover packing paper that we're never sure what to do with. Do we keep it? Do we throw it away? Do we put it in a recycle bin? Whatever. And I saw them using newspaper the other day. Well, you know, there's not that much newspaper out there right now.
Exactly.
But I had some leftover packing paper because I always say, well, I could probably use it if we ship something for Christmas next year or whatever. And I'm like, you know, why am I holding on to this? They could probably use it now. So I started folding up a lot of that packing paper and putting it into a box. And so I'll probably take that over there and any other, you know, packing paper, and probably take some donations over there as well. So.
Well, awesome. Awesome. You know, it's a day too, I think, to reflect. It's a day too, to maybe make a different commitment to serving.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, I don't think we just have to do this around MLK Day, although I'm
right.
honored every year to pause and do this. And as a matter of fact, and I don't know where I got the balls to do this, but I used to request from my employer for MLK Day off, and I was never turned down. I was never turned down, and I'm happy that I was, and I hope that, you know, we can in our own way carry the torch. I actually attended Spelman, you know, with Bernice King. We were poli-sci majors together. Dexter King at that time was on campus at Morehouse, and we, as the Atlanta University conglomerate, we took classes at each other's campuses. Marty had already gone by that point. But to see Bernice King still in the mix and still serving, and her label and her brand says Be a King. And that's how you can find her on Facebook or Instagram or any of that. Her entity now is Be a King. And I know, Gretchen, that they've had some trouble getting along, as we do as adults, unfortunately. And sometimes that happens within family. And
yes,
luckily, you know, my battles with my family has never been broadcast, and hopefully we work, you know, ours out. But in order for the legacy to continue, I hope that they learn how to work closer together. But I want to go back to, I just don't want us to do this on January 17th. And I hear you. You're always applauding me, but I hear you too. And I see you moving around, and I see, and you let me know some of the things that you do to serve. And sometimes, Gretchen, I don't know, listeners, if we give Gretchen enough credit on this platform of podcasts, because some of the information, or most of the information you provide, is just so inspiring. Maybe, you know, I'm not giving you credit. All of it is. And you go from a wide variety of things, and you always comes back to all power belongs to God.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And when you say it like that, it makes me sit back and go, okay, all right, so I should maybe not worry about fussing about those clothes on the floor in the bedroom with Reverend Robinson. Maybe that's trivial. In
okay,
the overall scheme of things.
Let me say this, and I probably am going to mess up this, and you know, because I'm not necessarily the chapter and verse scripture toting person, and that's why I have Pastor Hugh Harmon and others on from time to time.
Yep.
But didn't it say it is not good for man to be alone? And that's why we were kind of brought into the mix. And so it might be our responsibility to give that gentle nudge to do better for the men, for all of us, to do a little bit better than what we've been doing. But you know what? Before we get too far away, because it's still on my mind, I want to go back to something that you talked about, and that was leadership. And I need to say this because I think it's important that maybe we get a little better understanding about leadership, and maybe I need to bring someone on to talk about it. But the thing that I would venture to say is leadership is not necessarily always being in the limelight and in the forefront, okay? And it took me a long time to kind of learn that, but a lot of the people that lead, that, and I would be more inclined to say influence, because you can have a person that's in a leadership role, but they may not be the person of the most influence. It may be someone behind the scenes influencing them. That is probably the person that's the actual leader sometimes. You never know. And so we've got to recognize that, yes, we have to have people in the forefront. We are visual creatures. We like to see a particular person. That's why having people like Dr. King, like Reverend Jackson, and so many others, like the late Colin Powell, in positions where they were very, very visible. But you have to also recognize that if you are not in that position of being visible, that you can also be in a position of great leadership, of great power, of great influence behind the scenes by being responsible, by taking roles sometimes that other people don't want to take because they're not necessarily so glamorous per se, but they are important. For example, we look to our doctors. You know, the pushes everybody, you know, not everybody, but, you know, if you're going in the medical field, you want to be a doctor. Well, You need the nurses. You need the medical technicians. You need the lab people. You need all of these people working together to have a well-oiled machine, to have the whole system running to your benefit. You know, the doctor, if you can notice, if you're in a hospital, the doctor comes in, and hopefully they have the best bedside manner, and they say hi and everything, how you feeling, and tell you what's going on and everything. But the doctor's not changing the bedpan. The doctor's not bringing water or the blankets, you know, or turning on the TV or, you know, ushering in your family and friends to see you or keeping them out if they're causing you too much stress or whatever. They're not checking your temperature. They're not checking your blood pressure or your blood sugar. You know, they're not reading the radiology. You know, I mean, they get the information, the radiologists, you know. It's a team of people. Each of these people are very important, even though the doctor is the person that's the most visible. So we've got to recognize the importance of everybody. There's a role for everybody. Or like I like to kind of refer back to one of those verses that I don't know. You know, many gifts, the same spirit. There's the Holy Spirit, you know, empowers each of us with, you know, gifts. Some are, and they're not all the same, because if they were all the same, then there would be a lot of vacancies out there for positions that need to be filled. Somebody's got to do it, you know.
Exactly.
I really think it's important. But anyway, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, I love that. It's that I say to a lot of people, before Reverend Robinson, I was more of a vocal leader. But Reverend Robinson has a big personality and a big voice, and to me, a very important role at Second Nazareth. And I've taken a more quieter leadership role, but I still lead. And it takes all of us to make an impact. And, you know, I think that's important. And you can, my mother used to say, wow, can't we do some awesome things when none of us are worried about taking the credit or being, you know, in the headlights. And that is so true within any ministry, is that, when you know, or any service or any community, if we don't worry about who gets credit, you know, amazing things we can do, you know. So, and I think we do need to lead in several different places, and not necessarily out front. I don't think I'm that out front kind of person. I love radio. I don't think I want to do TV to that point. Maybe a sports report on the sidelines, Gretchen, so I can watch the game. But yeah. I really thank you for saying that. We don't have to, you know.
It took me a long time. It truly did. Because, you know, there's so much, like I said, we're a very visual being. And there's so much pressure. And I remember, for example, when I was growing up, and there were different things I wanted to do, but when I got interested in broadcasting, you know, my mom always pointed out Barbara Walters, and you know, at that time, you know, Barbara Walters, that she was kind of the icon at one point in time for
was.
Women. Yeah. And so, you know, and she was out front, you know. And so the goal was to go and take communications and mass comm and graduate and become a reporter and become an anchor and then go to New York and da-da-da and da-da-da and so on and so forth. And I never made it in front of the camera. And it was very frustrating for a very long time until I realized, you know, that I ended up being an associate producer and then a producer, and then realized that, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, just kind of being behind here and just doing the job and letting other people, you know, because you get to kind of write the stories. You kind of get to pick the stories. You know, you get to have a little bit more of a voice. And there, and for those that are front of the camera, there are some that are very, very good and very, very involved. And then there are some that are in front of the camera that, you know, you hand them what they're supposed to read and they read it, and that's all they want to do.
Exactly.
And I, you know, I had to come to recognize, like, I didn't want to be, and like I said, all of them aren't this way. I don't want to take them on, but I didn't want to be that kind of shallow. I got to grow into my position and learn how I could, you know, have more of an impact by maybe being more vocal and having and being more of a conscience behind the scenes. And I think that's kind of also what helped me to eventually do this podcast, was just the learning and growing and learning how to gather information and learning how to ask the questions, especially the tough questions and you know, why can't we cover this? Why aren't we doing this? You know, what about this? And so I think that has helped me grow into this, what I'm doing now. And, you know, I'm very comfortable and happy and satisfied with that. And I want other people to recognize the value of always necessarily being the person in front of the camera, or the value of working together with the person in front of the camera or on air, so that, you know, everything can be accomplished for the greater good, which I know that sounds so, like, naive and idyllic for some people, but that's basically what God wants us here to do. It's not about us. It's about his children and the best that he wants for his children. And if we're not trying to serve that, then we're not doing, you know, we're not doing what he wants, in my opinion.
It's amazing what teamwork does, and I think that's my attraction to sports. Especially professional sports, you have, and I'll even say football, a collection of 50, I think it's a 52-man roster, and we know that the NFL is, as far as players are concerned, are 67% African-American. But after that, you have yourself a collection of cultures within that locker room. And in order to get to the point to win the Super Bowl championship like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did last year, to bring in all of those different players, and actually within the 17-week period, you know, qualified for the playoffs and then went on to win the Super Bowl, is an amazing task, especially with grown men from so many different backgrounds. But we, as Americans, we prove we can do it each year. But we also prove that we still have a lot of prejudices, and we still have a lot of races, attitudes. And I am so glad that the Trump era is where it is, and I hope that we continue to grow from that and not go back to that in 2024. But I do say again that I really thought we made a lot of progress, but to see how it dwindled, or to see how it festered, or to see how it broadcast itself from 2018 to 2022 was amazing. I, for one, was naive and thought we were way, way ahead of where we actually were. And I thought we were way ahead of that.
I think a lot of people thought that after the election of President Barack Obama, and even with some of the stuff that he faced, I think people still thought that we were so much further beyond that. And what I want to talk about, I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to play a slot, and we'll come back. But what I want to talk about is where exactly we are. Are we as far along as we think we should be? And what are the indicators? And I'll explain that when I get back. But I'm here with Princess Coop, mighty CEO of Never Had So Good Entertainment Networks, here on Blog Talk Radio. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today and hope your celebration and service on this MLK Day is going well. I'm here with Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we're off actually doing our respective services and celebrations of this day. Today and tomorrow we will have civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson, and we're going to talk a little bit about get it straight in terms of exactly what are civil rights, what is civil rights, and how we protect them. And we're going to talk about an update on a couple other things that have happened over the past year or so. But in the meantime, now I lost my train of thought. But it was interesting how you were talking about the sports analogy, though, and I was thinking about it because I still have that, I guess, only child mentality, and so I don't necessarily think about things teamwork in the role of sports or being in a huddle or whatever. But I think about, what I can do individually as a contributor. Whatever it is that I can bring to the table, mm-hmm. working with other people, I have to work at that. It is something a little bit different for me because I don't come to the table with those automatic dynamics of always working in a group setting. So, but one of the things
that about that, Gretchen. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
I forget
go
about
ahead.
That you grew up an only child and
oh dear, we have some real technical issues. I'm not sure what's going on. Are you there, Princess?
Yes.
Hello.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It was a lot of interference. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So anyway, you were saying?
I was saying I forget about the dynamic that you did not grow up. I don't hear any, but I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a break here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like
yeah, I don't hear any. Oh, wow.
It's not there now, but
so,
yeah, it was kind of weird. So, let's take a quick break. I might hang up and call back in and see if we can, get a great connection, okay?
Okay, let's do that. Go ahead and do that.
Right. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. We're back, hopefully. Welcome back to Deep Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, Dee. Thanks so much for being with us today. This was a little bit of, technical glitches or interference, but we're here with CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, Princess Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And, what I was going to ask, first of all, finish what you were saying, and hopefully it's not a repeat or tri-peat for everybody else, but I did not catch what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Amen. It's okay. What I was saying was you were talking about your perspective and your family dynamics of being an only child, and sometimes I forget about that. Growing up, when there were three of us, although my oldest brother was 11 years older, there was a dynamic where you were taught how to share and encouraged to share, and there was a weekly or yearly review on how well you played with others and interacted with others. But I forget about that dynamic of team, because it was mom and dad and you in that dynamic. And I'm sure just from your conversation, your parents are excellent parents, but you didn't have to, you got something there to play with. You didn't have to share it with somebody else that wanted to play with it.
Well, yes and no. But the thing is, first of all, my earlier years, I went to Catholic school. And so the sharing part was always, encouraged. And then, my parents had me involved in a variety of things, including Brownies and Girl Scouts. I was in, other group settings like marching band and different things, Future Business Leaders of America as I got older and stuff. So I was regularly, even though I did not have siblings, I was regularly involved in group settings. Plus, mm-hmm. when my parents went on vacation, most of the time they always took a cousin or a friend to go with me. So they made sure I kind of knew how to interact with other folks. Yeah, I mean, basically, though, it's like, for example, the homework and all that type of stuff, it was just me. I had to put nose to the grindstone, and they helped what they could. But one of my parents were, college graduates. I think my father went to junior college or whatever, and they took courses and everything. They're both very bright, very smart people. A lot outside of what they knew to do or how to encourage me or how to get me help. Basically, it was on me to make sure that I and they just, they followed and kept in check to make sure that I had my grades and wanted to know why I didn't have my grades and everything. Like I said, they didn't, even though they may not have, gotten as far along as I did in school, they didn't play that, excuses for not doing, being able to do stuff. So, but one of the things I wanted to ask you was, one of the things that I see more of is more interaction between young people of various races, more dating of young people in various races. And with seeing all of that, do you think they know? Do you think they retain? Do you think they understand the challenges that preceded these interactions and these relationships? That allow for these open relationships now, these open dialogues and these open friendships. It's good to see, but there was a time,
Gretchen, I hope I don't go too far off the route here. I welcome their interaction in different cultures. And so when we were growing up, there was such fear put in us, or there was such a concern, or there was such a even say, no, that's not where I want you to go with that, you know, stay within your own culture. I'd rather see that than to see what I see when I go into high schools or I talk to different high school groups or young ladies or young men within church and hear from them that I don't have a sexuality. I am just who I am, and some days I want to be a girl and some days I want to be a boy. I'd rather see racial combinations and cultures and interactions and in relationships and marriages. But to hear where they are sexually is so disappointing and so not in a biblical teaching setting. They just want to be whoever they are today and not be defined as boy and girl. I think that's more devastating than what we see. I love this gradual progression to this as far as we are with racial interactions. My concern is the sexuality.
Princess, you're so right. That is so another conversation.
I know. That's why I'm trying not to get you over there. Come on back.
Okay. Because you know I'm hard to rein in on that one. I know where we're going
to
have
this
conversation. Oh, I know where we're going
to
have it. I know exactly when we're going to have this conversation. We'll talk about it later. But yeah, it's
okay.
Coming soon. It's coming real soon, within the next month or so. It's coming. I'll just say that. Because, you know, to me that is, and I don't care what anybody else says, that's an offense to God. This is going back. That's got to be one of my resolutions this year is to get a handle on where these verses come from. I mean, I know them. I've heard them all my life and stuff like that. Male and female, he created them. Okay. Male and female, he created them, right? That's out of the Bible.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you don't know what you are, that's not anybody's fault but your own. You know, God made male and female. He created them. And that's just it, as far as I'm concerned. But that's not what we're talking about today. Okay, so
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I knew.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm not sorry. It is what it is, and we've got to get into the nitty gritty with regard to that, because it's. Whether it's that conversation or the one talking about service or civil rights, it's about given how we respect life. And one the thing I think that Dr. King was really trying to exemplify is how we respect each other's lives, how we take care of one another, how we engage with one another. And being a reverend, Dr. King understood that it's the gift of life that God gave and how we handle that, whether it's our own lives or the lives of each other. Okay, so, that's a different conversation. At the same time, it's an actual conversation in terms of what we consider to be life, where life came from, how life is supposed to be treated. Our own lives, right now we're having a mental health crisis of all kinds of proportions, even worse than, and the conversation was starting to evolve before COVID. In the midst of COVID right now, it's just a gigantic issue, especially among young people, but part of that has to do with adults not talking about mental health, not understanding the priority of mental health, and not recognizing exactly what it is, because we come from this position, I think, where we think if someone has a mental health problem that is something normal. And the thing about it is that it's like if you are having a physical health problem, it needs to be diagnosed and treated and healed if possible. So the mental health issue is the fact that we've treated it as if it's something odd and abnormal. And I know I'm kind of getting off track here, but it's a matter of recognizing there's an issue, diagnosing and treating and healing whatever that issue is on a mental level as well as you would a physical level. It should not be isolated and treated any differently. But I have totally digressed. But and so I was what I was getting back to is, you know, I think Dr. King wanted basically us to be fair and knowledgeable in terms of how we recognize the importance of each person's life in our, you know, culture, in our community, and in our country, in our society, in our world, and being able to come together and recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses toward helping each other and making our communities, our countries, our, you know, our world as a whole a much better place than, you know, when and leave a legacy so that things will be better than they were before.
And that is why we try to take special days, if not throughout the year, but that's why we try to make sure that we're paying tribute to someone who really was about service and do this on these days and to leave this world a better place. Where now we've come full circle because there's so much to complain about. There really is. And and this journey of life is no joke. But if we can stop and make an impact of servitude without requiring any payback whatsoever, without requiring you to pat us on the back or to give, put our name in the paper or announce us on the church roll on Sunday, if we can make an impact quietly, you know, but with love, that's what this world is about. And to actively seek to make it a better place, not just sit in the pew, but to actively seek to make it a better place.
And let me just say this, too. Okay, if you did not have any major big service plans for today, please understand that that's okay because service also begins at home, okay? Maybe there's something that you've put off that a loved one has asked you to do, or maybe there's something that you weren't asked to do, but you see it needs to be done. As a sports giant that we also know with the swoosh and everything, just do it. You should not have to be asked to do certain things. If you see that something has a need and you can fill it, then fill it. You know? And that makes it easier and more comfortable and brings a little bit more peace of mind at home. So there, you know, from then that point, you can go out and do better if things are better at home. So even if you're not able to do this massive gesture, it's okay, you know, outside of the home, it's okay. You can do some things at home that will make life better for everybody because, like we just talked about you know, the challenges we've been facing, issues with, you know, civil unrest in some cases, with racial inequality and division, you know, some things you can start at home to empower the people in your household to make sure that they are strong and empowered to take on the challenges that face them out in the world, and to also help them recognize the gifts that they have so that they can use those gifts and share them with other people to do the service that needs to be done outside of the home.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I do feel that what we do at home is so important, too. And this may be a little bit off, but I read where a principal said the other day that if your child, your elementary child or your middle school child, is not getting mm-hmm. 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night and mm-hmm. making sure they have a healthy breakfast in the morning, they will not succeed in the 6 to 7 hours that we have them during the day. They will not.
Mm. Wow.
You know, and if we're trying to prepare for the next generation of such talent and gifted people out there, we got to prepare at home, you know. And if they are at home creating a riot, they're at school doing the same thing. But we have to, parents, I'm challenging all of us, if you have young people in your house, the rules aren't any different. We don't have to treat them any different. They work for us. And, you know, we didn't turn out crazy. It's okay. Sit them to bed. Take those phones and tablets and laptops from them. Challenge them to a healthy breakfast and challenge them to be good and kind and knowledgeable during the day. That's our future.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah,
a lot starts at home.
We don't think about
that. We don't.
Yeah, we don't think about them being our future. The doctor's not always going to be older than you or your age. The attorney is not always going to be older than you or your age. Whatever professional that you're relying upon is not always going to be taken from the 60-plus person right now. They're not always going to be there. And we have, as older people, we've got to recognize that. You know, we kind of, you know, give a side eye sometimes, you know, to people that are younger than us, thinking that they can't possibly know what they're doing. But the thing about it is, they won't if we don't empower them. They really won't. We've got to make sure that they are on the right track. We've got to give them every bit of knowledge that they can ingest. Because, yeah, those are the people that we're going to rely on to help take care of us, to make decisions that affect us, to make the medical decisions and legal decisions that affect us and our future and our children's future. We've got to do what we can. We can't always be naysayers to the people that are younger than us. We've got to make sure that they have everything that they need to take on the world, because when we get to be feeble unable to take care of ourselves, to handle certain things that are going on in the world, medically, politically, whatever the case may be, these are the people that are going to take over, and you want to make sure the right people are in place to do it, and they have all of the tools that they need.
That's right. They have all the tools that they need. And we can help and do our little part, and we don't have to post it on social media, you know, that we helped and that we did our part. Get away from that. You know, I see so many during the wintertime, they provide their jacket or socks or something for a homeless person, and then they got to take a picture with them, a selfie, and for Instagram. I think that's so crazy.
I'm
I think
sorry,
that's so crazy.
But that is really crazy. It's like, why?
Why?
You know, why? What are you doing it for? You know, that person, you know, may not want their picture on social media.
That's right.
You know, that's why you rarely hear me talk about my honey. You know, I talk about him. You know, I like to sing his praises and everything, but you rarely hear me mention his name. You know, you rarely hear us talk about what we're doing until maybe after the fact, because
that's right.
You know, it's not his decision to be on a podcast. You know, And I have to keep that in mind. It's like, this is my decision. This is my gig. He's doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Now, I must say, Reverend Robinson heard the discussion last night about Brian Flores and the head coach, the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And why was he let go? And was this any, had to do with, you know, the lack of loyalty to African-American coaches and that? Reverend Robinson called into the show, and I was actually on the show with Kevin Walker and Eric Scott and a lot of the other sports talk hosts were on. And he texted me and said, I want to come on. And
oh,
I'm thinking, okay, oh, God. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. And that's the first time he's ever called into anyone else's show. Eric is out of Orlando by way of Louisiana,
right.
And Kevin is based in New Jersey. And the first time you were called into any of the other shows. He's called into several of mine. But I texted him, and I said, hey, Reverend Robinson is on. He wants to say something in 0092. And he went, you know, through that we're still in a state where racism is high and at its peak. And he still feels that the agenda is to keep African American men in a certain place and not in leadership roles. And so he kept it clean, but he really went straight there. And when he got out, he came into my office where I was on the radio at, and he said, you're worried. I said, oh, yeah, I was praying really hard.
I prayed harder
really
than I
hard.
Used to be on Sunday, right?
Yes. But
well, tell him
Gretchen, you and I
any time to come
oh,
on,
no,
on
no.
Power Hour.
No, that fear is real. And Reverend Robinson can get on a tangent for sure. we'll stick to Pastor Hugh Harmon. As a matter of fact, shout out to Pastor Hugh Harmon and his household, his wife, Allison, who I've done some work with and for. She has tested positive to COVID. And I just want to say, get better. We're praying for you. And a shout out from our network to your family. We love you, and let us know if you need anything.
Yes, please, please, definitely. You know, you already got the prayer, so whatever else you need beyond that,
amen.
Please don't hesitate to let us know. So,
amen.
And we thank you
amen.
For your service too, as well. So
now, Gretchen, you know that we just spent an hour. We open up about MLK, and we try to bring it back to that theme every time. But I just want to know that you and I can do this all day, can't we?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. But, you know, I mean, the thing about it is that I like, you and I, for the most part, are not afraid to say things that other people may be afraid
exactly.
to say. And I'm thankful for this platform because, you know, as small or big as it is, you know, at least I think it plants some seeds out there. And hopefully people will be able to take something from what we say and what we offer and who and what we bring to the table and be able to, you know, share it, learn from it, grow from it, whatever it is. Just want it to be something positive for everybody. So
amen.
Happy King Day
amen.
To you. And thank you for your service. And
thank you.
We will talk tomorrow with the very not shy Kevin Anderson of Anderson and Wells, civil rights attorney. So we look forward to having him on tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Princess Cooper's Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network on Blog Talk Radio. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.